SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Enough! Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Wednesday, race fans. Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website as well, stevebick.com. And midweek, kind of that funny time after the Breeders' Cup preps, ahead of the Champions Day racing at Ascot that may or may not produce some more Breeders' Cup starters. And then, of course, it's a very regional weekend starting on Friday with the Oklahoma Classics. And, in fact, Mary Rampolini is going to swing through today. In fact, this hour. I couldn't remember if she was next hour or this, but she's this. And we'll talk to Mary about the Oklahoma Classics for Friday night. Nice, typical Remington celebration of the Oklahoma bread. We'll get Mary's advance on that. And importantly, we'll get some updates from Mary on the Dirt Mile, her Breeders' Cup coverage race. As that coverage continues from DRF correspondents, I think we may hear from Nicole Russo as well on the turf sprint front, which doesn't appear to be that much of a target for the Euros, at least the ones that won qualifiers, that won win and you're in types. We'll see about Fairyland, but Nicole's working list of turf sprinters, really populated by the North American variety. So we may get to Nicole today, and I wouldn't mind a sales update from her as well. There's been just a flood of supplements to the Keeneland and Fasig-Tipton sales after Breeders' Cup, and some big names too, including some ready-made horses as well as broodmare prospects or horses that people may go on with for another season as mares. Or they can put them in their broodmare band. And bring that up with Sid as well. Sid Fernando, top of hour two, of course. Sire Watch Pedigree Focus, brought to you by Hill and Dale. And it's another season for that is in the news on a daily basis. And that's the stallion rosters and fees and so forth. Let's see if Sid's got any thoughts on that front. Plus, I got some other things I want to ask Sid about, including Animal Kingdom off to Japan, some of that, and also Playborn that is going to stand DeMarchelier, and that'll make him the only DeBowie son. And you know, seeing as how often Sid and I talk about, you know, fresh international blood making its way to North America, it'll be interesting to see what kind of reception DeMarchelier gets at Claiborne. They're going to stand him for 5,000. So plenty of that with Sid. Pete's going to swing in first after the first break. Pete Fornitzal will get some grade one gamble results and the leaderboards out of Keeneland Saturday and Sunday. A lot of familiar names and personalities that won seats, BCBC and NHC and more. If you were following along a little bit, I sent out a couple of those that I saw. And we're going to talk to Alex Lieblong. I've been looking forward to the visit with Alex. Really excited for he and wife Joanne to have, you know, the kind of horse that that, you know, kind of popped up for them. And they've been so, you know, so much a part of the racing scene nationally, and they've had their share, obviously, of successes. I mean, the Big Beast comes to mind, and there's been plenty of others. But a two-year-old filly, that's a kind of a fresh situation, you know, for them. And they've got to be very, very excited about the prospects as they move toward Breeders' Cup for Wicked Whisper. And, you know, the Asmussen barn that has transplanted and dropped the roots at Santa Anita, that includes Midnight Bisou working already at Santa Anita. And there feels to be a lot of news on that front, with a lot of barns taking note of the main track situation and wanting to get in a little early and then some of them might normally ship. And that continues to be, you know, a story that gets followed. So I just heard from Seth. He's sick, actually. And so Seth is a late scratch. So we'll get something fun in for the last half hour this morning as well, with Seth, a vet scratch going into the day. But lots to keep us busy. And later today, of course, I'll mention, we won't talk to Dick until tomorrow, closing day, as things wrap up at Presque Isle and the HBPA Stakes tomorrow. But tonight, you do have the two-year-old Pennsylvania bred group, the Mark McDermott. And I don't know if I got to this yesterday or not, did I, about these fields at Presque Isle? Last night, before scratches, 83 entered. Tonight, 9 race card, 87 horses entered, averaging, you know, over 9 per race. And tomorrow, I mean, really an exceptional card. They got a 9 race card tomorrow, and they had 98 horses entered with nine AEs. 5 races overfilled. And so, you know, you want big competitive full fields with formful horses. Presque Isle has been offering that really all year. And this card tomorrow night is a wow group. And the HBPA goes as the 6th. Start the late pick 4. So, FYI, if you're looking for, you know, these kinds of fields, it doesn't all have to be, you know, just at Belmont Keeneland, you know, Santa Anita. We've been talking about this a lot, actually, you know, shopping and finding spots. Well, that's one option. If you want the big fields, you'll get them today too at Keeneland. And the sequence today, and I've got this pick 4 for later, that I thought it'd be fun to go after. And I'll make some final decisions later as soon as I find it. There we go. Today, no stake today. You'll wait for tomorrow for the Sycamore and the Valley View. But there is a field of 12 as the feature today, the 7th. There's a two-year-old allowance race, too, and non-winners a 2. But then it gives way to the feature, a mile on the turf, second level allowance for 3 and up males. And there's a horse at Neil Howard's on the rail that 20-1. And yes, Chad Brown Emirati is going to take plenty of money. Maker with Patriot Drive as well. Combatant in here for Steve Asmussen. But I'm very interested in Neil Howard here. This is This is a horse that, by all rights, probably, you know, probably could have made the transition to turf before now. Two-time winner, four times second, a city zip colt for Mr. Farish. And, you know, seems to have plateaued a little bit and kind of over the summer at Ellis. It was running mid-80s type buyers and trying to clear. Second level, actually. Second level, trying to clear this condition. Also ran in some money allowances. But why wouldn't Crosswalk take to the grass? And Neil tried, actually, a couple of different times and got rained off. So Crosswalk draws inside, is kind of a mid-pack, you know, stalk-and-go type. Brian Hernandez Jr., who has been with him a bunch of times, and I don't think you're going to get 20-1, but because I'm not going to be the only person that noticed the fact that this is a city zip, but you're going to get something decent because there's other, you know, there's other real considerations, notably Emirati and Patriot Drive, and some others too. Tigers Rule for Vicky Foley. John Ortiz has got Mr. Dumas, but and a Combatant is mentioned. So Crosswalk is going to be no better than probably fifth choice. So I don't know, 9-1, 10-1, 12-1. Looking forward to that. Kind of opportunities you get at Keeneland. The two-year-old group, there's also Maiden Special. Two-year-olds going a mile and a 16th on the grass. That looked okay. What else did we talk? I guess we looked ahead to the stake with yesterday with Jeremy. Tomorrow to the Sycamore and Friday to the Valley View. So plenty of good midweek racing, and then on Saturday they'll draw today the Maryland Million card for Laurel, New York State Bred Showcase Day. And still waiting, I guess they'll go final today. Still waiting for PPs at Far Hills for that group of races we talked about, including the $450,000 Grand National with Guy Torsalieri yesterday. So I'm still working from the overnight. But we'll talk to Sean Clancy, and we'll talk to Bill Gallo over the next couple of days, because you can bet that it's not just on site. You can bet wherever you like to on Saturday's card from Far Hills. Looking forward to it. Enjoyed yesterday at Saratoga at the Humphrey Finney Pavilion and in the back ring and in the walking ring. A really nice day for the Saratoga mix sale. Practical Joke, a big star with two first crop babies that impressed and led the sales numbers. You can bring that up with Sid too. It's always interesting to see the weanlings and how they are received. But it was really a fun, a lot of people. Everybody took advantage of coming to town, and you got plenty of pinhook action, and you know the weanling to yearling market. So it was really fun. I was interested actually in one, and ended up being an out. So, but I got to see everybody was there. Although I didn't see Andy. Andy got there late, so I didn't see him because I had to come home. And Tina and I are in the midst of this kitchen work. So it's like, you know, way too much crap in the kitchen that's got to be cleared out. A couple of pieces of news to slip in. Maximum security. There is news, and he is going to target the bold ruler. He's over the colic and starting to work well and get going. Looks like maybe the bold ruler and the cigar mile, possibly the Clark, but we'll see. Just good that he's back training. Let's take a break. Pete Fornatel starts us off at the races. SiriusXM.
The latest racing news. It's at the races with Steve Vick on SiriusXM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up with ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use Express Fund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories, and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years. We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and Kent the Sermon Afternoon Delights absolutely galloping in the Hollywood Futurities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a grade one race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing, this is At the Races with Steve Bick on SiriusXM Radio.
We're back at the races. There's a cut and an artist that Pete certainly must have brought a smile to Pete's face. La Tigra, Kathleen Hanna. Pete, good morning.
Good morning to you. Yeah, that sounded good. I want to hear the rest of that group.
Well, that, of course, her side project, Bikini Kill, her you know, very... I mean, you got to be, it's sort of a, you know, deep influence type of a that group, Pete, of female, bands that, were punky and were their own genre.
Yeah, Ladies Who Rock, definitely. You can hear some B-52s in there, for sure, but also taken off in its own direction.
Well, we're taken off in a couple of directions with you today because, of course, at Keeneland, we sent a bunch of winners to BC Opportunity and NHC, one of the most anticipated contest weekends of the year. Jim Goodman treats everybody how they deserve and how they enjoy. And we got a couple other things to talk about, but let's hit the Keeneland recap before we do anything else.
We'll start with the lead story, guy I'm actually going to be interviewing this afternoon. We've been texting back and forth, but I haven't spoken to him. Nick Manella was the big winner at Keeneland with a bankroll of over 28,000. Gets the seats. BCBC. He'll be headed there. Eager to talk to him about his strategy for that and figure out how he got there. Made a leap from 10th place all the way up into first place at the end of the Grade One gamble and ends up winning clear by $7,000 over a name of a player who's been on top of a lot of contests and seems to do very well, particularly in Kentucky. Chuck Grubbs ends up second with $21,000. David Nichols in third, $19,000. Tommy Massis, the self-proclaimed and with good reason king of Keeneland, over $17,000 on his bankroll, ended up dropping two spots in the end. Was going for the win. But ends up getting back to the BCBC, of course, an event he's won before. With him and Chuck Grubbs, that makes two former BCBC winners in the top five on Sunday at Keeneland. And then that top five rounded out by Kevin Willett with just over $17,000 on the bankroll. They give out too many seats there, Steve, for me to run them all down. If folks are interested in the full results, you can move over to Keeneland.com under wagering and get a look at those. But a very successful run in the Grade One gamble. And a great turnout as well on Saturday's event for their fall challenge, won by Ken McMahon, who is a devoted contest player along with his wife, Jeannie King. They dance a lot of the dances. They live in Lexington now. Must have meant a lot for Ken to get the win in front of the home crowd. And I can only imagine the bourbon was flowing at their house that night. Ken has one of the most impressive private collections of whiskey that I have ever clapped eyes upon. And I've seen a few. So I can only imagine Ken running down to House of Bourbon in Lexington after the big win and adding to that collection. Then rounding out the top five there, Ken Jordan was second. Chris Larmy in third. Fourth place, I only have last names here. It was an Engelhard. I think maybe it was Brian Engelhard in fourth. And then Christy Moore in fifth place on Saturday. Keeneland once again showing, as you were indicating, that they really are a place that takes care of contest players' needs. And if I were to give you a list of places to target, if you're a contest player and you say, I want to travel for a tournament at some point in 2020, near the top of the list of events, obviously we put the NHC on there. We put the Breeders' Cup tournament on there. And Santa Anita certainly have done wonders with their contest program. But certainly on the list of places, on the very short list of places you want to try to go to play in a contest is Keeneland, spring or fall, and a big part of that is the tremendous hospitality provided by Jim Goodman and the team. Big weekend out there. Keeneland, my only thing I was sorry about was that I couldn't be there in person, had the nice weekend at home, little week. I was originally going to be traveling to Toronto, had the opportunity to spend the quiet weekend at home, but I wished I could have been in a couple of different places. It's just such a great time of year to be a horse racing fan, so many different options and places to go, and Keeneland certainly at the top of that list.
Well, the way the weekend came off, just watching everybody, commenting and those that went out, and it's always a great atmosphere. And they had an interesting, I'm just looking for, where's my, some of the results that, they had some, and they had some good races to play with. It didn't seem like there was It didn't seem like there was, some of those thrilling moments that you necessarily are looking for at the end of contest. But there wasn't any explosions that kind of rocked the leaderboard.
Chuck Grubbs made a move like that, but it was a bit muted by the fact that it only got him up to second. But he did go from 42nd place into second by crushing something at the end. But, yeah, it doesn't stand out as much as when the player goes from somewhere in the middle of the pack to the very top. And I can't wait to get the Nick Minnella story. It's pretty impressive. To pass 10 players in the last race isn't nothing. So I'm curious to hear how he and maybe I'll reach out to Chuck too to see how he approached the last race and get those stories and try to relay them on one of the Keeneland Select podcasts that I'm doing. I should be recording one later today. Maybe we'll get a few more details on the Grade One gamble and how it all went down.
Well, I did see Larmy make a comment that it was very mutual wise. It was pretty mundane Saturday at Keeneland. Especially, the way it closed out with the two favorites, under 2-1. But I did see where Larmy said that he had to go elsewhere for his hits, he wasn't getting it done at Keeneland.
It's the beauty of live bankroll play that even if you end a sequence with a couple of $5 horses, if those are your opinions, and again, this is going to depend on your wagering personality. A lot of contest players, they're not going to play those horses, even in exotics. There is a breed of contest player that is simply allergic to chalk. But if you are somebody who is down with the game theory and of being able to lean into those prices, you can take a cold number in an exacting, a double, being stone cold on top in the try, and make the magic happen and make a big leap, even if you do like the favorites. It's one of the things I like about the live bankroll events. And I will say this, it's better, the problem, I still enjoy the mythical format. I think it has its place online, but it's sort of the opposite problem of the frustration we hear people express when in the last race of the contest, the mathematically correct thing to do is take a horse that you don't even think has any chance, but because it's the only one who can get you there. The live bankroll events certainly mitigate that. This might be the other extreme, short numbers on the end. There's probably a happy medium that would send more players away feeling good. But I do like the fact that in the live bankroll event, you still have the flexibility to make a score even when you're dealing with chalk on the end.
Well, looking forward to the weekend, Pete, I got to mention a couple of things on site. Los Al on Saturday with two seats and depending on entry, as many as four. Hawthorne at Club Hawthorne at the OTB, the fall tournament. They've got one seat as well. And Monmouth on Sunday, two seats at Monmouth. Which is actually, are they tied in with Woodbine? Because I see where it's, they're calling it the Monmouth Woodbine NHC qualifier.
Yeah, you can only play from Monmouth, but the races will be both Monmouth and Woodbine.
And
Brian
Woodbine.
Skirka
Very
was talking
good.
About that
on
recently.
Sunday.
So it's good for the players just to give you a little more flexibility. I'm glad you mentioned those events because these are really important opportunities as we get down to the dwindling chances to qualify for Vegas. I think depending on where you are in the country, thinking about targeting Monmouth certainly makes sense, though, that very popular format at Hawthorne, if you're in that area, that makes sense. And keep in mind also Hawthorne, I'm assuming the schedule is the same this year, very popular events Thanksgiving weekend, where a lot of players have made their last stand or close to it to punch those Vegas seats in the past. So if you go to the NTRA website, you'll see all those opportunities. And, if it were up to me, I'd still be probably focusing more of my contest qualifying energy. I'd be thinking about Breeders' Cup because remember, Breeders' Cup itself is also a great place to qualify for the NHC. The number of seats that are given away there and also the fact that you'll have so many double qualified players, it's possible to finish 20th at the BCBC and still win your chance to the NHC. So you're not really choosing one over the other by still focusing on Breeders' Cup at this point. But then after that, obviously, folks are really going to start focusing on getting those tickets punched to Vegas and having a chance to go and hang out with us in the Bally's Ballroom this year.
That part of it, looking forward. I'm going to get out early, actually. I want to mention the opportunity, the unique opportunity as well for Saturday online, because you've got the NHC maidens. If you've never qualified to NHC, there is the special opportunity on Saturday. And there's still actually, I think there's still, what, two, there's a feeder tomorrow, an $18 entry feeder, both tomorrow and Friday to get in, potentially. And if you don't get in by a feeder, it's just $165, and that will be Saturday. It's a pick and pray, and one seat per 65 entered, your ratio. And this is only for NHC maidens. It's this is a nice idea, you know, kind of another low cost opportunity. So take advantage of this as well.
I heartily encourage players to take advantage of the potential class relief available in that qualifier this weekend. Why not? Why not play in one where you don't have to worry about all these heavy hitters who I've written about over the years, that have been featured on At the Races over the years? If you're interested in playing an online qualifying event, certainly one. If you're eligible and you're eliminating so much of the experienced field, that's got to be better than your average 1-in-65 event.
Exactly, and it's at horseplayers.com. So FYI, and we'll make reminders as well as we get closer to Saturday. The race lineup will be available tomorrow afternoon for the contest. Those of you that played, for instance, that signed up, you know, and being a tour member is obviously a requisite. Those of you that got involved with the Beat Bick contest, this is a good follow-up, and it's actually been a lot of fun to hear some of the stories that have come out of the summer and what we did, because there's a couple of people that have subsequently continued to play that got
That's
involved,
great.
That qualified for a buck, and have gotten to Vegas. So it's sort of a subset.
That's awesome. That's really cool.
Pete, I got to bring it up because I saw your notes and I responded at first to Todd Marks's news about Goodnight Shirts passing at 18, and you traded off of that news and were directly tied to him. It's which I didn't know about. I mean, tell everybody about your association with the wonderful 2008 Steeplechase champion and Hall of Famer.
It's my my claim to fame. One of my very minor claims to fame. You know, I once parked Southside Johnny's car, and I owned part of Goodnight Shirt before he was famous. And we had a great run with him on the flat. It was all due to my friendship and longtime association with Sean Clancy. I met Sean in the 1990s. This is just a good random story. I think you'll appreciate. His college roommate played on the same softball team as me and Frank Scatone. We were all working for Simon & Schuster, playing softball, talking about racing. We were poor editorial assistants at the time. So when the guy, I'm in right, Frank's in left, Paul Wasserman's in center, and when he on the sideline between innings says to us, "Oh, you guys want to go to Saratoga? My roommate lives up there. He'll be happy to have you stay with him." And instead of thinking, gee, that's going to be really obnoxious to show up on at a stranger's doorstep and expect them to put us up, we, making no money at the time and loving racing, said, "Sounds like a great idea." That roommate was Sean Clancy, and we ended up, both Frank and I, working for the Saratoga Special in its earliest years after befriending him for a couple of years. And then years later, I had an opportunity to buy into the original River D Stables partnership. And the business model back then was very simple. We were looking to buy horses who were jump prospects, run them on the flat, as Sean explained it to me at the time, run them on the flat once or twice, and then sell them. And that's exactly what happened. So it was kind of funny. I always rooted for Goodnight Shirt, of course, but there was the tiniest bit of bittersweet watching this horse that we once owned go on to win $1 million. But as I've joked to Sean many times, we probably just would have wasted the million anyway. And wasn't it great to see what that horse accomplished? You know, Sean always believed in him from the first time he saw him around the shed row at Fair Hill all the way through his career, the storied season. I think it was in 2008 when he won the six grade ones. We were watching from afar and always held a special place in our heart for him. Our own lack of financial gain being extremely tempered by the fact that he was such a cool horse and in such great hands and accomplished such great things. And I still contend that for Sean, while obviously I'm sure he wishes that Goodnight Shirt was winning all those grade ones in the River Dee colors, that it had to just be an amazing confidence boost for his eye and something that helped really push him into the bloodstock side of his business and give him immense credibility and led to a lot of other opportunities down the way. I try to be philosophical about this stuff. I don't think there's much to be gained about wringing your hands too much and worrying about what might have been. I'd rather focus on the joy he brought to us while we had him, including his first level allowance victory that happened, I think it was the day before my wedding. I didn't get to be in any of the win pictures. One of his wins for us, we were up at Saratoga. We watched in the racing office. The other one, I was busy getting married. But I do remember he added a couple of extra positive vibes to that fabulous weekend back in 2004 in September when Susan and I got married. Horse will always have a very special place in my heart. I love the fact that he was able to raise in Jack Fisher's Field of Champions. I had Sean on the In the Money Players podcast earlier in the week sharing his memories, and it was very emotional for him talking about it and just thinking about the passage of time. And wow, how was that 15 years ago now? But yeah, a horse that'll always mean a lot to me. He hangs on the bunker wall, and I'm just very grateful, Steve, to get the opportunity to chat about him here with you on the air. It makes me realize maybe I should try to write something as well, try to capture some of these feelings, because he just meant so much to us.
Yeah, you know, obviously, when he was sold, he went to Sonny Villa, and on the front end, Santa Hendrix, right, started him out.
Liz Merriman.
Okay, I thought
on the
that.
Flat or Liz Merriman, who was Liz Hendrix and then became Liz Merriman, and she was our trainer. She did. I'm glad you mentioned her, because I was remiss in not giving her credit for the tremendous job she did in getting that horse acclimated to races. Because if you remember him at all, he was a big horse who needed to be sort of eased into. He had to be developed just right, I think, to be able to accomplish the things he did later in his career. And Liz Merriman should get full marks for the tremendous job she did before we sold them on. And then, of course, Jack Fisher picked that job up brilliantly and did a tremendous job keeping him in top form throughout his racing career.
And I mentioned on the breeding side, and I can remember, I think when he went in the Hall of Fame, we talked, it just happened that there was some other topic that Dr. Bowman in Maryland, and you know, the Bowmans have had their hand in so many successes and important horses, but Dr. Bowman bred Goodnight Shirt. And there's a story in that in itself, how he even came to be. I remember from a conversation with Dr. Bowman several years, whenever it was that he was elected to the Hall of Fame, we just happened that we talked to Dr. Bowman too. So there's all kinds of people that have had a hand in Goodnight Shirt over the years. Really cool.
He touched a lot of lives, including racing fans. He had a devoted fan base. The wonderful exhibit in the racing museum that I'm pretty sure is still there. It might even be part of the permanent collection, where you can go and you can watch the races and tell some of t- tell some of his story and his rise to greatness in that perfect season. And it's always funny walking through there. It's impossible for Susan not to make a gentle jibe when we walk through that exhibit, and she'll elbow me and say, "Why'd you sell him again?"
Well, I suppose Sean would go on, right? I mean, Sean would go on with a horse like this and campaign him. Not that he doesn't source horses for people, but we'll see this weekend, obviously at Far Hills too. Sean's.
It was also it's interesting. The market changed so much in the late 2000s. There was that point. It felt like that could become a little cottage business of just trying to find these horses on the flat and sell them over jumps. Nowadays, I think what would have happened the way the market's changed is you still maybe make the sale, but you stay in for a piece. But it was a different world then, and he and I were both in such different parts of our lives. I can assure you, every decision made sense at the time, and it's so easy with the benefit of hindsight to go back. I was obviously joking about that. We obviously should have stayed in. Everything you got to evaluate it based on the decisions at the time, not on the outcomes that you get. That's for sure. But yeah, Sean's gone on to have terrific success as both agent and owner, and I'll certainly be rooting. I'll be over at Champions Day. That's my excuse for missing Far Hills this year. It's actually been kind of bad. I've missed Far Hills now I've missed it for a decade, and it's a great day of racing. It's so much fun. And I really do miss it. It used to be one of those days on the calendar that I wouldn't miss. And just the way things change, and obviously with the working over in England gives me a really good excuse to not get out there. But for racing fans looking for a great day out, the Far Hills race is super. That's super duper fun, especially if you're considering getting involved in the owning the jumpers game, and if you can get in the owner and trainer area and see the party in there and watch some great racing, it's something I miss. And one of these years when I'm not traveling, I'll make sure to get back there.
Well, and you mentioned Champions Day and watching how these races may even still feed into Breeders' Cup, most notably watching Magical in Japan and seeing how O'Brien, what's going to happen coming out of the Champion Stakes with that pair, Deidre as well, right? Deidre could run Saturday and then anticipate it to still come and so forth, even though yesterday's news, it's funny, people were only mildly disappointed that Enable won't come for a Breeders' Cup turf defense, but just the fact that she's coming back next year, looking still toward that third arc win as her goal. And it made the more I thought about it later in the day, Pete, the more sense it made. We've heard Garrett O'Rourke explain that Prince Khalid is getting older, and what's the point of putting her into the broodmare band? Not that she won't get there eventually, when he'd enjoy having her run again next year and have those races to look forward to. So it actually is kind of logical.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a I also had a little bit of my first reaction, I'll admit, was an oh darn, because I was excited about the Breeders' Cup idea. But it's a situation where I think, upon reflection, clearly the good news outweighs the bad news to get to see her run, hopefully, a number of times next year. And I didn't fully buy the narrative that if it really was that she definitely needed firm ground or something, the USA plan would have made a lot more sense. I really think while the ground didn't help her cause this arc day, Waldgeist was just laid out for the race and just ran a bigger race on the day, and there's no reason she can't continue to be competitive at the highest levels and a campaign next year. That's going to be every one of those races will be an event, and I'm excited, and I think it makes sense. I mean, from the ownership point of view, to have such a mare to race, and at the expense of one year in the broodmare band, like you said, there's more life enriching experiences to have running her than retiring her. And I think for Judmon at this point, that's clearly what's being what's being sought. It's a real racing operation first, as opposed to a racing business operation. So no doubt, I think it makes sense. You mentioned Deirdre. Now, from what I'm hearing about the weather, and I've been looking at the weather over there, and it's looked like it was, you know, remember, I lived over there in this time of year in 2015, and the weather was basically what it's been lately. It seemed like every day from mid-October till the end of the year, between 45 and 55, and rain. I don't think Deirdre, talk about a horse who's not going to want to go on that ground. I don't think Deirdre's going to want to go on that ground. I mean, just remembering back to the Royal meeting, that's a case where I really think it would be prudent to, you know, assuming she doesn't just need a run somewhere, to wait and come and run here. I think it'd be so much fun to have the Japanese participation. And I just think Santa Anita is going to suit Deirdre. So I'd love to get a chance to see that. That'll be a really fun story to follow Breeders' Cup week. And the Japanese, their fans travel really well. And it's always fun to have their involvement at these big racing events. So we'll I'm keeping my fingers crossed. I'm not going to be disappointed if I don't get to see Deirdre. And if I do, I'm hoping it's just a spin around there, and she'll be ready to come back and run in the Breeders' Cup in a couple weeks' time.
Well, Pete, we'll look forward to some missives from Champions Day, and then some recap, and really the focus will be fully in on Breeders' Cup and BCBC. When we talk next week.
I love it. One very quick note, Steve. Just want to let listeners know that I'm proud to be partnering with Breeders' Cup and Nick Luck. They're doing this video series, Luck at the Cup. It's going to start dropping on YouTube and the Breeders' Cup site tomorrow. And we've been chosen as their podcast partner. So you can find these great interviews that Nick Luck has done with key figures in Breeders' Cup history, people like Richard Mandela and Mike Smith and Kent DeSormo and Jerry Bailey, and they'll be appearing in the Money podcast feed as well after they drop on the Breeders' Cup site and the YouTube channel. Just something I think your listeners in particular might get a kick out of, so I'll put in a plug for it here.
Well, and Nick mentioned when we talked about 2.5 weeks ago that he was, you know, that he was building that library with those interviews, so it'll be fun. Absolutely. And of course, the video, also the Hennigan Brothers stuff is dropping as well. Another season of that. So
all in.
Yeah, exactly. All in. Exactly. Pete, safe travels, and we'll check in next week.
Thank you, my friend.
Pete Fornatale, folks, looms boldly. Let's break here, come back. Mary Rampolini looming as well. We'll get Mary's Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile report. She's tracking the field, and there are a couple of names that have kind of bubbled into the picture when it came to the Dirt Mile, and still a couple of horses that are considering the sprint. And Catalina Cruiser's decision, which I thought was pretty clear. I thought Mile was his race, but Mary leaving the door open per Sadler conversation. So we'll see what Mary says, and we'll get her advance on Friday night at Remington, Oklahoma Classics night. Always a really fun. I attended one several years ago. It was a lot of fun. Back after this, Mary Rampolini in the form, Sid Fernando in a little bit. Sire Watch Pedigree Focus brought to you by Hill & Dale.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Amazing achievements for Pennsylvania breeds on the world stage. Thanks to Finest City, Unique Bella, and Shamrock Rose, PA joins Kentucky as the only state in the past decade to breed Eclipse Award champions 3 straight years. Add that to our unmatched incentives. Plus, our racehorse development fund can only be used to support PA breeding and racing. Why breed anywhere else? This is Brian Sanfratello. Go to PABred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective time-saving paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up at ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use Express Fund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Come on, baby. Come on, girl. Come on, baby. Come on, girl. I love you, baby. I love you now. I love you, baby. I love you now. Look at us, we're beautiful.
We're back at the races, about 10 minutes to the top of the hour. Continuing to check in with the DRF correspondents around Breeders' Cup lead-up and the Breeders' Cup section at DRF.com. Mary Rampolini tracking the Dirt Mile participants, and there's been some movement in recent days. Mary, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How are you doing today?
Excellent. And good to get a chance to talk. We didn't connect actually before Super Derby and everything down at Louisiana Downs. So we'll catch up on a few things regionally and especially the Oklahoma Classics on Friday night. But let's focus on the Breeders' Cup portion of the conversation and the Dirt Mile. There's been some names that have cropped up the last couple of days, and we're waiting for some decisions. Let's touch on your latest update.
Sure. Steve, there's been a little bit of movement, and like you said, some decisions to be made. A Catalina Cruiser is one of the big decisions to be made. Trainer John Sadler is debating the Dirt Mile and the sprint for him. Of course, Catalina Cruiser has an excellent record at one turn, a grade two winner at two turns, so he can go either way very easily, and a fantastic record at Santa Anita, where he's two for two. So they've got a lot of decisions to make. But he said as of yesterday, they've not yet decided. And he left open the possibility of cross-entering when we take pre-entries really next Monday, the 21st. So he's a big question mark. You know, he would be on Brad Free's line. He is the early favorite right now for the Dirt Mile. So a lot of people watching to see what Catalina Cruiser may or may not do. Omaha Beach is a horse that's been mentioned on Jay Pridman's reporting as this being a possibility for him. We're waiting to find out a little more what direction they're going to go to. He certainly is also under consideration for the Sprint and Classic. So he's one of those that's that everybody's watching to see, too. Owendale had been under consideration for the Dirt Mile and also the Classic. And trainer Brad Cox said Monday that they're going to go in for the Classic. So the Dirt Mile kind of lost that promising three-year-old. And another three-year-old Math Wizard, who had been looking somewhat at the Dirt Mile and also the Classic, committed to the Classic in the last week, too. So those are some of the movements going on. Mr. Money, who could have gone Classic or Dirt Mile, there were some other races he also was looking at. Trainer Brett Calhoun said he'll point for the Dirt Mile. So some of the three-year-olds sorting themselves out while we're waiting for answers on horses like Catalina Cruiser.
Well, and the ones that have been kind of static and pretty well established for the Dirt Mile, to look at the field, and then we'll talk about the ifs, the iffy elements. Colefront, Todd Pletcher, and Mr. Money, as you just mentioned. Prince Lucky as well for Todd. Baffert pretty much redirected Improbable toward this. Mr. Freeze coming out of that terrific effort at Churchill. And Dale Romans, who was very quiet through the middle part of the year. And then all of a sudden, you know, Dale restocked the wagon and is going to show up, not just show up at Santa Anita, but I see that from your report that he's actually going to head out a little bit early for him, targeting what, later in the week, right? Or over
yeah,
the
yeah,
yes,
arrival. Marty McGee was writing that he is heading out earlier. A lot are going on the 29th out of Churchill to Santa Anita, and but yes, you're right, he is heading out earlier. I think it was Sunday that Marty had been reporting, and Mr. Freeze is one of those that Dale said earlier this week that he's debating. He's looking at this Dirt Mile with the horse. And just because of what you said, he ran a huge race in the ACK. So he hasn't made a final decision, but the race is on the radar for Mr. Freeze.
Well, and he's got plenty of two-turn experience and success at two-turn.
Yes.
So it feels like Mr. Freeze is kind of a horse that a lot of people wouldn't have thought about going into this. But, you know, 100 buyer when he won the ACK, and going back to that West Virginia Derby win last year, the career best 102. So Mr. Freeze, seemingly a horse that that's got the kind of talent and ability that and feels like the kind of horse that wins this race on occasion. The Dirt Mile is such a, you know, sort of a two-headed fish. The the name that popped up on your most recent update was Diamond Oops,
and
Patrick Biancone showing up with Diamond Oops in all kinds of interesting spots, most notably that effort at Keeneland 2 weeks ago that was really a tremendous run. And what did you hear from Patrick?
Yes, I have to give Mike Welsh credit for passing Diamond Oops along to me. And he is more inclined to go Dirt Mile than Sprint at this point. Mike was passing along to me. So, yes, he is a very interesting new face on my top 10 this week. Yes.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. So, and you know, he's a horse. He is an extremely versatile horse. You know, he's one turn, two, turf, dirt. And I think part of the intrigue of the Dirt Mile is that it captures, you know, such a middle type of horse, you know, because it's interesting that Catalina Cruiser, who was a win-and-you're-in winner when he captured the Pat O'Brien, that was a birth to the Dirt Mile. That's a 7/8 one-turn race. The mile at Santa Anita, of course, will be two turns. When it's a Churchill, it was a one-turn race. So it kind of captures an interesting group, you know? It's an interesting mix. Yeah.
The other name that has pretty much been on the list, Giant Expectations for Peter Urton. And the other two that popped up this week, Gray Magician, who's danced a lot of dances, and Snapper Sinclair, another turf to dirt possibility.
Yeah, you know, Snapper Sinclair, of course, would be coming back to Dirt if he goes. Trainer Steve Asmussen said, I guess Tuesday, that he's possible. And this is a horse that is coming off that big mile win at Kentucky Downs, which was actually a rare turf start for him. So he's got a lot of established dirt form. Again, he's possible. And then trainer Peter Miller said, Gray Magician, they may pre-enter him in the dirt mile, but he's not definite on anything. But he's a horse that has a name that could be thrown into the mix, and he's coming off a really nice allowance win at Keeneland. And, of course, he you know, has some nice credentials from earlier in the year. You know, ran second to Mr. Money in one of the derbies this year, and was second in the UAE Derby in March.
Well, this race, actually, your update more or less breathed some life into it, Mary, to be honest, because with Mottoli pretty much leaning toward the sprint, and the sprint is going to be wildly entertaining. We'll see what the Catalina Cruiser becomes the linchpin and as to, you know, as to how this race unfolds. But if he ends up here, and I don't know, I would think that I'd be surprised if Sadler wants to mix it up with that group of sprinters that's coming together. And of course, some more reiteration yesterday from Richard Mandela that Omaha Beach is almost certainly going to go in the sprint. That was reiterated and reinforced yesterday. So, you know, that race, we'll see.
More reason for Catalina Cruiser maybe to stick on this side of things, you're saying?
Omaha Beach, Imperial Hint, Mottoli, Chancelot, Firenze Fire, etc. I don't know. I would think that this is a path of less resistance to some degree for Catalina Cruiser. That we'll see, and I'm just. Listen, he's formidable wherever he goes, I suppose. The thing that I would find a little tricky is just the fact that he hasn't won at six furlongs since the maiden win and the allowance, way back when. Everything, the shortest he's gone subsequently was, the True North was 6.5 when he came to New York. Earlier in the year, and the Pat O'Brien 7/8. I don't know. He is perfect at Santa Anita, but I don't know.
They got lots to talk about. Yeah, they have some things to think about. You know, so
this is tough. I'll be anxious to. That's one of the key decisions that we're going to see, and you know, he could obviously cross enter too, and not, you know, not answer really. Not answer the question immediately on pre-entry day next Monday. Anyway.
Yeah, I re-asked that yesterday if that was still a possibility, and John Sadler said it was. So.
All right. Well, those that are keeping track, Diamond Oops, Snapper Sinclair, Gray Magician, all add some intrigue to this dirt mile. And Mary, let's take the opportunity to talk to you about Friday night. At Remington, the Oklahoma Classics, and you know, the Oklahoma Bred program, very strong, and certainly that card kind of reinforces that topic.
Yeah, really nice. You know, we've got the Marchie horses, which Shotgun Cowboy will go in the main event. That's the $175,000 Classics Cup. That's the richest of 8 stakes on a 10-race program that's worth $1 million. He is going for his 4th win in this race, Steve, but he'll be coming off a bit of a layoff. He hasn't raced since Lone Star Park, since he was 5th in the Steve Sexton Mile. But he has been, I will say, in talking to C.R. Trout over the last few months, this has been his target for some time. And David Cabrera has been working him regularly, and he feels he's ready for the task at hand. So he's certainly... always one to contend with, a millionaire, multiple grade 3 winner, one of the top Oklahoma breds in training, and so is Welder, who will go in the sprint. That's a $130,000 race. And he is coming off a win against Open Company in Remington's biggest sprint race, the David M. Vance. So those are kind of the two marquee horses. There's also some interesting horses in from Edmonton. We've got a nice multiple stakes winning filly named Catch a Cougar coming in for the Lassie, which Randy Goulding has been reporting for us for some time. And she's pretty accomplished in that spot. And then I think another horse that a lot of people will be interested in watching run in the juvenile is Rowdy Yates. He was fifth last out in the Iroquois against Dennis's Moment, one of those good Roman horses you were talking about developing and going on to the Breeders' Cup. So that's kind of, those are kind of some of the high points of the card.
Yeah, it does seem that you go through this slate, and there's invariably some very heavy favorites along the way, and Welder obviously is going to be one
sure.
to five, two to five. Rowdy Yates is going to be under even money as well. But there's also
yes.
there's a couple of competitive races. The Turf, that Turf Classic
came up
good with a group of 10.
That is a great race. I agree with you. You've got Esmos, who is taking the blinkers back off. I believe he tried them last time. I'm shuttling over to that race that I had handicapped. And he tried them last time, and I think they come back off for Friday night. He's a grade 3 winner in there. But you've got horses like Ibaka, who's like an 8-time stakes winner in there. And you've got so many good turf horses that are lined up. You have the Perfect to Please horse, who's so versatile. He's a stakes winner at one turn and two, the old veteran who's coming off a turf sprint win in there as well. That is a very competitive race, Steve.
Well, speaking of old veterans, how about Stewie Elliott down at Remington has enjoyed a nice season?
I know. I need to catch up with him. And he made the decision to come in here, and he's matched up very well with several different barns, one very notable, Mindy Willis. The two of them have had a lot of success together. But, yes, Stewart has found a real home here at Remington, and I think it sets him up very well to go back to Oaklawn if he chooses to do so after this meet.
Well, Mary, the Oklahoma Classics Friday night, I wanted to make sure everybody was aware. It starts out with a couple of starter allowances and then all stakes throughout, and always an entertaining evening. And they do a tremendous job at Remington, and the Oklahoma program continues to, to be very stable and successful. And we'll be looking forward to some results on Friday night. The Oklahoma Classics. Mary Rampolini, we'll check in with you again as we get closer to Breeders' Cup and get this field together, and invaluable resource at the Breeders' Cup section at DRF. Go to each race, use the drop-down menu. There's all the reporting associated with each of the 14 categories with Mary tracking the dirt mile. Mary, thanks so much.
Thank you, Steve. Thanks for all your efforts. We appreciate it.
Not at all. Mary Rampolini checking in from New Mexico to Louisiana. there's no place in Mary's field of expertise and coverage. It's amazing. From Oaklawn to the Louisiana tracks and Texas, New Mexico, Oklahoma. Let's take a break here. Come back a little past the top of the hour. Sid Fernando, step in, Sire Watch. Pedigree Focus, brought to you by Hill & Dale, and we're right in the teeth of the bloodstock season and the trade. They will move from here at Saratoga yesterday back to Kentucky for the October sale. 4 days, and the October yearlings. And there's been plenty of daily updates and supplements to the two broodmare, not just broodmare, but the sales after Breeders' Cup. Some very big names. And I want to ask Sid about the broodmare acquisition approach. Certainly saw yesterday some interesting results on that front. The broodmares were on the front end of the Saratoga sale. I saw Roddy Valenti. Talked to Roddy a little bit. I said, you know, what are you doing? Were you buying, selling? And he had two that he was selling, two babies, two weanlings. But he was keeping his eye open and actually bought a broodmare. And he explained his rationale, which was interesting. You know, because he's got Bustin Stones, who just seems to just get runners. And he noted that he bought a broodmare early in the sale that had her best result, her best progeny, was a Bustin Stones. So he bought, saw the mare in the catalog, and he bought her. Makes perfect sense. We'll ask Sid his thoughts. Let's take a break. Sire Watch, Pedigree Focus, Hill and Dale, after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
DRF Sportsform Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sportsform delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsform. Enter code DRF Sports.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Do you ever wonder what happens to your old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories, and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years? We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and Kent the Summer on Afternoon Delights, absolutely galloping in the Hollywood Futurities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a Grade 1 race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-9000. 938-4643.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Open up your heart, what do you feel? Open up your heart, what do you feel?
We're back at the races. Coming up on 15, it's hour two. Thanks to Mary Rampolini for the Dirt Mile report. And the Dirt Mile is going to be a lot better with those additions if everybody that is considering running decides to run. And boy, being Cone, Diamond Oops, liable to show up anywhere. After that daring move to the Shadwell 2 weeks ago, and he ran so well. I mean, it's an interesting horse. Snapper Sinclair, also, you know, moving around on the chessboard. Great magician. Sid Fernando standing by. Sire Watch Pedigree Focus brought to you by Hill and Dale.